Bible. Tonight, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, I'm going to just read two verses. I'm going to preach on two verses. We would call this a textual message, not a textual topical, textual message. Revelation chapter 3, 7 and 8. And I'm glad you're here tonight to hear this, because notice what it says in verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write. You know what an angel is, right? It's a pastor. Angelos, it means messenger. Why would God give a message to an angel that's not going to speak to the people? To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength that has kept my word and has not denied my name. Now tonight I want to preach on your open and shut doors, and we know who does that. Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, he's a person, a glorious person, our Savior, and he will shut doors in your life and he will open doors in your life. And I remember our first pastor, Dr. Charles Ware, he used to say, you know, when we think about an open door, let me just say what an open door is. An open door is the Lord Jesus opening an opportunity for you to go to church, an opportunity for you to go out soul winning, an opportunity for you to serve the Lord by helping others. And he gives you those opportunities. And you first of all have to come and get in the Word of God, but he gives you those opportunities. And Pastor Ware used to say, opportunities are what? Historical. Say that with me. Opportunities are historical. You're not saying it loud enough. Opportunities are historical. I used to play football in high school. I remember on offense, I played fullback, and then I was moved to halfback, left halfback. And, you know, the quarterback would say, you know, hut one, hut two, hut three, and, you know, call the play halfback at four on four. Hut one, hut two, and I'd go there. And one thing I had to learn, I was very fast. I got my letter in my freshman year. We broke the school relay record for the 440 relay. And but one thing I remember is I was fast, and I would just use my speed and grab that ball and go right into that hole, which was, you know, halfback at four or whatever. And you know what? I invariably ran into a 300-pound lineman, like Fred Fuchs. You understand? You played football. Jose knows what I'm talking about. And I would go down. And what I had to learn is not to hit that hole too fast, even though I had speed. That speed went against me. But not to hit it too slow either. To just hit it right when the linemen were able to open up a door or a hole and then go through that hole and then burst into the secondary, and then you can use that speed and do your thing. Juke and rook and go. But I'm saying opportunities are historical, and many people are not aware. They're wondering what happened. Some people are making things happen. Some people are part of what's happening, and other people wonder what happened. I don't know. And I hope that you're not that third group. And I want to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is opening doors for you and for me to serve him. And he's giving us these opportunities. And I want to look at three things tonight about the message. The name of the message is Your Open and Shut Doors, Revelation 3, 7 and 8. The first thing I want to say is your Savior opened doors for you that no man can shut. Revelation 3, 7 says, he that openeth and what? No man what? Shutteth. If the Lord opens the door, if the Lord is your blocker. I used to have some good blockers, but there's no blocker like Jesus. You say, what's Jesus called in the Old Testament? One of the names for Jesus is the breaker. The breaker. And he can break. And, you know, you have an ice cutter that cuts the ice, and a ship can go when the ice... Yeah, well, Jesus is our ice breaker. He is that great breaker. And that's why we need to follow him. Amen? Don't get out ahead of him. Don't lag way behind him when he opens the doors. Be there and be ready when he says to go through that hole and hang around the angel of the church. When he says, go, go, don't hang around and be God's snail. Get out there and do it when you're supposed to do it. And don't be too fast so that you're not waiting on the Lord either and running ahead of him. And so the apostle had the opportunity to do this. The Lord had opened a door for him. And here's what the apostle said. And as I read this, I'm thinking, whenever the Lord, listen, opens a door of opportunity for you to serve him, you can always expect hindrances and holdups. And I'm going to give you an example in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Here's what the apostle wrote. But we, brethren, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. So we have desire here and effort to see these believers, to help them out, to follow them up in their faith, because he led them to the Lord. And he said, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Have you ever had that happen to you? Satan hindered us. And have you ever been out soul winning, or maybe on bus ministry, and more abundantly you expected to see someone's face at church that you had reached out to, that you had led to the Lord, or you had followed up, or you and you expected maybe to see them come down the aisle and get baptized and profess their faith? But you know what happened so often? The Lord opened that door for you to get that opportunity. You went through the door, you did it. I'm going to loosen up a little bit here. You did it, but Satan got involved there. He hindered your work. A week ago, I helped Matt on his route, and all the way I could describe my Saturday a week ago was what Matt had. It was a slog. How many have ever had a slog when you're out there? It was a slog. Everything was hard. Nothing went well. And I really prayed, and the men prayed this Saturday, and we prayed for God to open the doors. And I went out there, and I want to tell you, it went great. I had doors open. I had opportunities open. I led people to the Lord. I could have done more. It was just so great. And I talked to Brother Matt afterward. I said, how'd you go? Oh, it was great. He had a big family that were going to come. It was so great. I had a guy you led to the Lord up in, I followed him up in Oliphant. He was in that basement apartment behind, and he was going to come, and he was going to come and go to church, get on the bus. And I had it all set up, and he wanted to get baptized and everything. And it was great. And I got with Brother Matt. I said, how many are you going to have this week? He said, oh, I should have 25 to 30 people out on the bus. Last week, I think you had 14. And it was low. And I'm going to, and it was going to be great. And then I came to church. I looked for this one. I looked for that one. They weren't there. How many? Deacon Steve came up to me and said, 9 people. I'm like, wow. You see, the Lord opens doors for you. You go through the doors, but Satan sees it and he will hinder you. And if you've had that happen to you, don't be discouraged tonight. You need to know you're in good company. That happened to the Apostle Paul. At least you're out there. At least you're involved. At least you're going through the open doors. And praise the Lord for that. And what a blessing that is. And perhaps that guy that didn't come up there in Oliphant, that was in that apartment, Satan somehow hindered it. I don't know what happened. I haven't found out yet. But perhaps I know it's not going to be in vain. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye hope, think, as ye what? Know. Your labor. By the way, what's the word labor mean? You work hard. I don't want to just piddle around. I like what Jack Hiles used to say. You say, you talk about Jack Hiles? Absolutely. Always good. I like what Jack Hiles used to say. He said, it's the great commission to go, to get the gospel out till somebody gets saved, to baptize them, and then teach them to go out. He said, that's the great commission. He said, it's not the piddling commission. There are a lot of churches, they're just piddling with it. I don't want to be like that. I want to labor. Paul said that he labored more abundantly than they all. But have you ever labored and gone through the open door and you were expecting greater things and then it just did not turn out? Brother Matt told me, he said, I have a guy, he's got a big family up in Carbondale, comes on his bus. God just opened the door. Brother Matt was there and got that guy. And the guy has how many kids, Matt, in his family? 10? 10 kids up in Carbondale. He comes on the bus. But he's got a hindrance in his family. And that hinderer is being used by Satan. It's not so much a person. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the devil and his helpers. And that person, the devil, hinders. And this guy, Matt told me, he called up and he said he's coming to church, he thinks, with his family. And it's going to be great. He's coming back because he got hindered. So I looked for him. But no, he wasn't there. Satan hindered us. I'm saying when it comes to your open and shut doors, your Savior opens doors for you. And no man can shut those doors. But you can be hindered. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. I preached a message one time. It was called, on that verse, hindered but not halted. Hindered but not halted. You see, when we get hindered sometimes, we get discouraged and we halt ourselves and we don't need to do that. We need to keep going forward and trust God that He will bless us in the long run. You see, just stay with it. We need something called patience to win. And so Revelation chapter 3 verse 7 says, he that openeth and no man shutteth. And God opens doors, listen to me, for you in your life, opportunities to get rewards in heaven, opportunities to get rewards in the kingdom to come. You say, by the way, what are the rewards of serving God in the kingdom to come? People change lives. And not only that, you will have more opportunity in the kingdom to serve God, but you won't have a body that gets sick, a body that gets old, a body that needs sleep. You'll be able to serve God. You'll have opportunities because of you taking advantage of the open doors. And so he says that we need to go through those open doors, and God opens the doors that no man can shut. Those doors on us. By the way, when the Lord opens a door of opportunity for you, no man can shut it, but you will experience, as I said, these hindrances. But sometimes, listen to this, we talked about the devil, right? But I wonder, how about this? Sometimes you give in to the world. You know what the world is. When you turn on YouTube or you get into this and you get distracted by the world. Or you go out in the summer day and you get distracted by the world. And sometimes you give in to the pleasures of the world or the pressures of people in the world and you get you have an open door for the Lord. You go through that open door. You labor, but now you mess up on reaping the benefits of that. Sometimes you give in to your own sinful lower nature, your flesh. You've gone through that open door. You got blessed by serving God, but you've given in to your flesh, and now the blessing is, it's not there in the fullness. Because you can't have your worldly, fleshly cake and eat it too. You can't turn God on and off like a light switch and think you're going to control Him. No, you need to be controlled by Him, and then you're going to see the blessing of God. And so sometimes I'm saying the Lord opens the door, you go through the door, and then you lose the fullness of the blessing because you're distracted by the world. And you've given in to your flesh. And you find yourself like Samson, without spiritual vision, without spiritual power, without spiritual freedom and opportunity to reap the blessings. You know, the Bible puts it this way when it comes to adversaries. It says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." I'm saying to you, if Jesus is opening the door, by the way, when a door is opened, you need to know whose hand is on the door. When a door is open, is it the cloven hoof of the devil opening a door for you? Or is it the nail pierced hand of the Savior opening the door? And when He opens that door, and you know it's the Lord, and you go through that door, the Bible said, you go through that door, but there are a lot of adversaries now that are going to hit you, and they're going to come against you. But I want to say this tonight, God is faithful to keep that door open when you step out in faith and you go through that door, even though you're being hit by adversaries. My granddaughter Willow's here, and she asked me the other night how I knew the Lord had called me to be a pastor. And I told her, you know, I really wanted to be sure I was called to be a pastor. I was already going to Bible college, studying for the ministry, all of that, but I wanted to be sure. Looking back, I know I had that God-given desire in my heart to be a pastor, so I really had the call of God on me. But I wanted to be sure, and I asked God for a number of weeks, "Lord, make it clear, the call of God, that I know I'm called." You say, "Well, Pastor, why did you do that?" Because I was afraid. I had seen pastors get opposed, attacked. I had seen what pastors go through, and I said, "I don't want that kind of life. I would rather not go through that. It's too much in the public eye. It's like you're in a fishbowl and you're getting attacked." And I saw these men and I said, "Man, I don't know if I could take that." But I knew I had it in my heart. I wanted to do it. And so I said, "God, you make it clear to me." And I told Willow, I said, our pastor, Charles Ware, he had been asked to preach a series of messages in Jamaica. And he went down to Jamaica to preach, and he said, "Boom, while I'm away, I'm going to be away on a Sunday. I want you to preach for me." And I said, "All right." And I started praying. I said, "God, what do you want me to preach on?" And I told Willow, he led me to Joshua chapter 1. And I was reading in Joshua chapter 1. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. It doesn't happen to me all the time, but once in a great while it does. The words came right out of the pages. It was like God was just thrusting that word on me, and it was really hitting me. And it says in Joshua 1, verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee?" And that jumped out at me. "Have not I commanded thee?" Who's he talking about? God saying to Joshua, "I am talking to you, Joshua. I am calling you to take over for Moses." And it was like God was saying to me, as that word was there to Joshua, "Boom, have not I commanded you? I'm calling you to do this. I want you to be the pastor." Well, I knew the pastor was Charles Ware. And you know, it said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now you go and lead this people. And when Charles Ware came back, I told him, God gave me this scripture. It said, Moses, my servant is dead. And God spoke to my heart. And I believe he's going to have me. And Charles Ware said, Bloom, I'm not dead yet. I'm not dead yet. And it was some years later that I was in Florida for a year working for my father-in-law, helping my wife who had a condition. She had to go down there. And I was a youth pastor down there for just 1 year and taught in a Christian school. And they called me up and they said, the church wants you to come and be their second pastor. Charles Ware is going to Washington, D.C. And what I had, yes, it came true. But he said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now sometimes I feel dismayed. Sometimes I feel afraid. But when I am dismayed and I feel afraid, I remember God called me to do this. And he, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Would to God that some men, some young men, would be called of God to be preachers and to be pastors today. And I pray for that. And I want some men to be pastors. I've been doing this. I think, Mabel, you asked me how long I was pastoring today. She came up to me after I preached, and Mabel said, I thought she looked a little like her mother back there with the long blonde hair. But she said to me, how long have you been pastor? And I said, I started in 1978, and I started counting it up, and I figured out that's about 47 years. Of pastoring here. And I was here before that with Charles Ware helping him. But senior pastor, 47 years. And I have found out that God never left me and God never forsook me through that period of time. He was with me all through that period of time. He upheld me all through that period of time. But I did experience men trying to shut the door on my ministry. I remember in 1984, some people rose up and they didn't like what I was preaching against alcohol, against rock music, against other things, and they said, you better stop preaching like that. I'm talking about the head deacon. And they all got together. They said, you're going on a vacation to Florida. If you don't stop preaching like you're preaching, you may not have a pulpit when you get back. And I got with my wife. I said, what am I going to do? And my wife said, if they're going to tar and feather us, I just pray that they keep the tar off the children. And I made a decision and I said, I'm not going to listen to people. Have not I commanded thee? I'm going to listen to God. You see, God didn't call me to be a dictator, but he called me to make sure nobody else is. And that's leadership. You got to take the heat. And so I kept preaching. Well, they true to their word, they came out against it and they rose up and I didn't change, and so they all bolted for the door. I got out of here. I stayed. That was in 1984. That was back last century. And then in 1996, it happened again. We had a Christian school, and there was a lady that was all excited about running the Christian school, but you know, where a person's heart is, where a person's treasure is, that's right, treasure is there, their what? Heart will be also. And so what happened? She had all the kids of the church in the Christian school. And instead of doing that under the pastor and helping the pastor, she decided she would then be the pastor. And her husband went right along with it. By the way, it's always a woman. You say, why? Because Eve, Adam, a woman affects the man. That's what happened in the first one in 84. It happened again in 1996. And I just kept on preaching. And boom, that happened. And then in 2017, what a year that was. Some of you remember that one. 9 months I was out of the pulpit. And I figured out who it was. It was a woman in the police department. And she'd been following this ministry for many years. More than once, she'd sent detectives out here. And one time, the detective was downstairs talking to me. And they said, "We want to go up and see your baptistry rooms." And I said, "Okay, yeah, come on up." And they looked in the baptistry room, and they were looking in the walls. And I'm like, "What are they looking for?" And I figured it out. They were looking for holes drilled in the wall. They thought I was back there watching people in the baptistry room. I don't even go back there. Brother Joe's even there. But that's what they did. And they watched it. And then that's why we do permission slips, by the way, Brother Matthew. That's why we do, Matthew McCorder, that's why we do permission slips. Because... Because I made a promise to the detectives. I said, "We'll make sure we have parental permissions before we baptize minors, since they're under the parent." I told them, I made a promise to the detectives. And they said, "Good, okay." And that went on. Then we had parents that came. We baptized kids. We had all kinds of stuff going. And there was this lady that was watching us. And we did fundraising for the Christian school with kids. We don't do that anymore. And she had the detectives come and investigate us. And here's what they said. "We want no stone unturned until we find something wrong with this church and this man and this ministry." And they investigated until that happened. I stepped out of the pulpit while that was going on, and we had to have lawyers and go to court. Not the regular court, but a children and youth court, you know, the quasi court. And when we did, the judge said, "There's nothing there. This is lies. This is innuendo." But I'm saying the devil wanted to get me out. And what I feared happened. I had to go through that. If you're going to be a man of God, you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And all I'm saying is that the Lord opens doors for us to serve God, but we have to understand that many are the adversaries, and when you go through that open door, the devil wants to get you out of the ministry. Let me give you an illustration that you can understand from everyday life. I believe Donald Trump has been anointed to be the President of the United States. We haven't had a President of the United States in a long, long time. All these guys have been puppets of the globalist elites. And they've just done what they've done. They're not real leaders. They're puppets. Donald Trump said, "No, I'm not taking that. I'm going to lead the United States according to my Constitution." And what do the left do? Now they got judges to question every decision he makes about deporting illegals and so forth. And they've gone after him in court and stopped him over and over again more than any other president. But the Supreme Court, thank God, in answer to prayer, said, "You can't do that." When he became president in 2016, Hillary Clinton got her law firm, and they accused him through that stinking FBI director, what's his name? Kobe Phoebe? Whatever his name was. That tall guy, that FBI director, that's a dirty cop. James... what? I don't know. James Comey. Yeah. James Comey. Anyway, he got a special prosecutor on Trump and bugged his campaign and spied on him and said, "You've colluded with Russia." They put the special prosecutor, Mueller, remember that? It all came to naught. But Rachel Mad Cow Maddow was on there every day yepping about it. That was 2016. Then 2020 came and they stole the election. You see, here the Lord had opened the door. Here the Lord had given us a president. Here the Lord had heard our prayers. And the enemy, Satan, had all these adversaries. And he still had to fight these adversaries. And guess what? He came back in 2024. And it was too big to rig. And he won. But you know what? You can have a door open to you by the Lord. You can go through that door, and when the adversaries hit you, no man can shut that door. But you can quit. You can say, I hang it up. I give up. They asked Donald Trump to speak at a graduation for a college, and he said, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You see, God will make a way for you. Maybe you'll have a dark day. Maybe you'll have a dark time. Maybe you'll go through darkness. But the Lord will... Read Psalm 37 tonight. That psalm is how to cool it when you're going through hard times. How to cool it. Some of you need it if you're tempted to be discouraged and you're in the work of God and we're here in an evening service. Read it. How to cool it. Hey, I'll tell you what. I'm very busy in the Lord's work. I'm very busy, but I have to learn how to cool it and get very discouraged like Elijah and say, I give up, I quit. And you don't want to do that. Amen. God will see you through. I'm talking about your open and shut doors. Number one, your Savior opens doors for you that no man can shut. Number two, point number two, listen up. Your Savior shuts doors that no man can open. It says that He shuts doors. He said, when I shut a door, no man can open it. When I open a door, no man can shut it. But I do shut doors sometimes. You know, Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And she gave it to Adam. By the way, your sin will affect others. You don't sin in a vacuum. If you're sinning, you're going to affect your family. You say, I'm just enjoying an adult beverage. No, if it's not good for the kids, it's not good for you either. Amen. I'm just enjoying an adult entertainment. If it's not good for the kids, it's not good for you either. Amen. Your sin will affect others. David said, in my house, I will put no thing before my eyes, no evil thing before my eyes. Eve gave it to her husband. He ate it. And God shut the door to temple worship or to go into the temple. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God was. He walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. And God put two cherubim, just like in the Holy of Holies. You know, there are two cherubim guarded the Ark of the Covenant. God guarded that so nobody could go in the garden to have that close walk with God. And they had to worship at the door of the garden where the cherubim were. And they had these flaming swords turning every way. I'm just saying that God shuts doors, and sometimes God shuts a door because of our not listening to Him. And He said, I'm just going to shut this door on you. Have you ever had a door shut on you? Saul did. He said, God said, you're not king anymore. I'm shutting that door on you. Noah built a waterproof boat for 120 years it took him to build that boat. And the door was open and Noah said, look, you've never seen rain before. You've never seen flooding before like this. But there's going to be such a flood, it's going to cover every high hill. And they didn't have high mountains back then, but every high hill is going to be covered. It's going to cover the whole world. And everybody's going to die. And the only way you can be safe is come in the door of this ark. And the door is open for you to come in. Anybody who wants to come in can come in. By the way, no matter who you are, if you want to go to heaven, the door is open.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm the door.
Yeah.
You don't have to join a church, a denomination. You come right through Jesus.
Yes,
man. He's the door. I did my father's funeral. I preached on, part of my message was on him being the door, and I put that on his grave, that Jesus said, I'm the door. And that door was open, but then there came a day God said, okay, it's over. 120 years, that's enough. I'm not going to strive with these people anymore. It's over. By the way, when God stops striving, then maybe you can stop striving. And he said, it's over. Time to move on. Moses get in the ark, Noah, and his family got in the ark, and God shut the door. And the flood came. And the people were beaten on the door. I'm sure there were family members. No, please, let us in. We're sorry. We're family. Noah couldn't open that door. I won't be able to save anybody in my family that's not saved. You won't be able to save anybody in your family that's not saved. You'd open it if you could. Just like in hell back in the Old Testament days, the man said, I can't go to you and give you water. I would maybe if I could, but I can't. It's too late. Once that door of salvation is closed, it is too late. If somebody here is not saved, then make sure you get saved through Jesus tonight. Don't wait. Sometimes God shuts the door on a relationship. I had a girlfriend in college. I was in Bible college. Her dad was on staff working, and I saw this girl. She looked like a pretty girl to me. I said, I want a girlfriend. God said, no. But I said, no, I want a girlfriend. God said, no, I want you to do other things. Hang around with Charlie Ware. I said, I like the smell of perfume and all that. And so I got a girlfriend. And I went with her in Bible college. Right when I, first year up at BBC, her name was Penny. And then I went to Florida after that first year at BBC, and I ran into a church down there, and a girl was in the church by the name of Kathy Leeser. And she'd gone to Cedarville College out there in Ohio. And this girl got me involved in the church, and she and I were working in the youth group together and all that. Anyway, word got back to Penny. I'd been spending a lot of time with this girl named Kathy. And I came back, and I wasn't going with Kathy. We were just serving the Lord. I came back, and I was like, Penny, have me back. Come on now, we're going to. And she's like, boom, it's over. She'd had her feelings hurt, and that was it. She felt I was hurting her feelings. God shut that door. I tried to open it back up, and God said, nope, it's not opened up. I used to go every Sunday, and her mother would make a delicious meal like nobody's business. I couldn't get that meal anymore. I wasn't invited in. God shut the door. But how many wonderful meals have I had from my wife?
Amen.
How many wonderful times. You see, when God shuts a door, he can open a better door for you. So don't get all freaked out. I was counseling somebody the other day, and a door of ministry had been shut for them. And they're almost stubbornly, it's got to open up. I said, well, how about looking at your training and your opportunities? Maybe God's going to open another door for you. And a door of opportunity opened up, and I said, man, you got to think about that now. Is the Lord opening that door? Pray about it if he is, and that door is shut there, do it. And this person said, well, I got to go by faith. In other words, till God opens the door here. I said, well, it might be faith for you to leave and go through that, step out in faith like Abraham did. And there's adventures there. You know, Paul wanted to go east with the gospel, and God shut the door. And he said, I want you to go west. And remember, he had a Macedonian vision. And the Macedonian vision said, come on over here to the west and help us out to the west. And you know what? you wouldn't be saved and I wouldn't be saved if the gospel didn't go to the West, because it went to England and then to America and from America all over the world. And God blessed by shutting a door on Paul. Listen, when God shuts a door and he slams it, don't stop moving for God. Just look for the other direction. God's got this. He'll bless you. So I'm saying tonight, my friends, I'm saying tonight, your Savior opened doors that no man can shut, but you'll have adversaries. Your Savior shuts doors for your own good that no man can open. And thirdly and lastly, your Savior opens doors for you when you have certain qualities in your life. You say, I want to have more opportunity to serve the Lord. I want to have more impact for the Lord. I want to have more blessings of... Well, then you need these three things in your life. You say, well, what are they? They're right here in Revelation 3, 8. And here's what it says. I'll read it to you. Revelation 3, 8. First of all, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. What's the first thing if you want to have an open door? You have to be a worker, not a shirker. Some people just want to go to church like I did when I first got saved. I snuck in, I sat in the back, and I slipped out right after the pastor preached. All I wanted was the message. Period. I don't know what happened to you. You got very involved, and now you're addicted, aren't you? You're, and that's what happened to me. But I just wanted to get in and get out of there. And I was doing it until I met with a pastor, and then one thing led to the other. But I'm saying, Jesus said, listen, I know your works. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. I am 75 years old, and I am not looking to retire. I'm looking to refire. Now God could stop me. But he'll have to. Because I want to work. I want to work. I was talking to your wife, Bobby, the other day. I said, you guys are doing a lot. Bobby's doing a lot. You're doing a lot. I know you're helping out greatly this week. Thank God for that family. Amen. They're hard workers. And the kids are hard workers. And they're involved in the Lord's work. And your wife said, I love to work, Pastor. I love to work. You must have taught her something there, Carmen. I love to work. And you know what? That's what, if you don't love to work, learn to love to work. Do you love to work, Anna? I bet you do. I know. I'm saying learn to love to work. She hangs around her mother, she'll learn to work. Right? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. I'll tell you what, when I got into trouble was when I got a day off. That's when I did to be in trouble. You gotta watch out for those days off. Even your leisure time, plan it out, man, or the devil will plan you. Amen? So Jesus said, look, I know your works. I've set before you an open door. Because you're willing to take advantage of it and to do something. That's number one. Number two, he says, next quality, you have a little strength. Look at verse 8. He said, you have a little, for thou hast, for thou hast a little strength. You say, well, what does that mean? That means that you realize your strength is small. Your strength is not equal to the task. You know what? I look at the task that God's called me to. I can't do it. I can't walk on water. Amen. But Peter did. Why? Because he had his eyes on Jesus. Amen. If you're stepping out in faith and you're doing what God wants you to do, he will give you the strength to do it. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China that impacted China back in the 1800s, the 19th century, the 1800s. J. Hudson Taylor, they said to him, how do you do what you do? And he said, I just realized I am very weak and I need God's strength. You know, I write my sermons. I work on them. My secretary taught me how to type them out. Now I never have to bother her to type them out. Well, very seldom. But you know what? God's Holy Spirit does not come on sermon notes. Hey, how have I been preaching without that mic all this time? You tried to give it to me. He tried to help me. God's Holy Spirit does not come on sermon notes. God's Holy Spirit comes on men. And we have a Saturday prayer meeting, and men cry out to God for the Holy Spirit's power in this church. Why? Because they know we're not equal to the task. We need something that cannot be humanly explained to be done here. Charles Finney had people praying for him. Jack Hiles had people praying for him. And you say, "Oh, Jack Hiles, listen, I saw his funeral. Men marched night and day by that dead body. There was something more than that man there, believe me." Charles Spurgeon, you could go on. He had men praying and women praying for him, for the power of God. Listen, if you want to bless your church, pray for your preachers that we have the power of God upon us. You have a little strength. I had a friend of mine named Terry Zabolski in college. I didn't know him that well, but he was a younger student, and he became a pastor, and he didn't see much going on in his church, and you know, like you might not see much going on in your bus route or much going on in your Sunday school class and all of that, and you say, "I want to see greater things happen. I want to see what happens in Diane Payone's thing. I want to have great things happen." Well, Terry Zabolski went on a vacation with his family, and he got up in the morning, maybe 5 in the morning before they all got up, and he went in the bathroom in the hotel, and he would pray on the floor for the power of God. And he came back to his church, and great things started happening in this guy's. And he had the power of God working through him. That's what we need today. That's what he's saying here. The reason I'm going to give you these opportunities is because you're a worker. Number two, you have God's power because you know your power is not there. You have a little strength. And then, number three, notice what he says here in verse number 8. It says here, "And has kept my word." You've kept my word. Charlie Ware preached from this old King James Bible that I'm preaching from tonight. I took over the church in 1978, and it wasn't long I turned it in for a new version because I was an intellectual. And I figured I can change from this Bible and use the new versions. Little did I know that all of these new versions go back to a perversion that came out of Alexandria, Egypt, and was corrupted by the devil. I didn't know it. And then I started seeing some things happen in my church. The deacons started drinking, and you started seeing a lot of bad stuff happen, a lot of carnality happen in the church. And we had to deal with that. Yeah, that was in 84. I mentioned that to you. And you know what happened after that? I got humbled. God took me to the woodshed for some bloodshed, and I got rid of the NIV version, and I got the King James Bible. That was back in 1985. It's now 2025. Do the math. I've kept this word right here. And I don't intend to give it up. Because this is the word of God. Jack Hiles preached that. I didn't do that because of Jack Hiles. I ran into Jack Hiles after that at a pastor school, and I saw him doing it, and it helped encourage me to keep doing it. I didn't do it for him. Nah. But he emphasized that. Then his successor, Jack Scott, he started changing his view on the King James Bible. He still used the King James, but he changed his view. And I wrote him about 5 letters back and forth. I wrote Scott and he wrote me. I wrote him and he wrote me. And I tried to disabuse him of where he was going. Because I could see it. And others tried. But he wouldn't listen. And then I said, "I'm not going to pastor school anymore." I stopped. And shortly after that, his ministry crashed and burned. You say people get away with leaving the Word of God. They don't get hit with a bolt of lightning. Well, no, sometimes it takes longer, and the effects of something come out over time. But I want to tell you, don't have the right God in the wrong Bible. God said, I've exalted my word above my name. I've talked to people I like, people I know, and we're talking about something, and we have a difference, and I'm going back to this book, and they have a modern version, and I show them, you know, it's not right. You got to base it in the word of God if you want God's blessing. You work, you have God's strength, you have God's word, and then one more thing he says in verse 8, and I'll be done. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, kept my word, and not what? Denied my name. Jesus said that we should make his name known before people. What is that? He's talking about confrontational, aggressive soul winning. Telling people how to get saved. We had a young lady up here. Matt brought her up. She wanted to get baptized. I asked her if she was saved and the right question, and she didn't have the right answer. So I went through the gospel with her. She prayed to receive Christ. Whole church wasn't there. I said, I'll give it a week and I'll ask her, Bobby, and see if she keeps it in memory. 1 Corinthians 15. Because she wanted to get baptized. She didn't have it. And I believed in the wisdom God gave me. That's what I should do. You say, how do you get that wisdom? He that winneth souls is what? Wise. I'm just saying that God says if you are a soul-winning Christian, if you're willing to go out there, listen to me, and confront people and lead them to Christ and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and then bring them down the aisle to get them baptized and do that work, God said, I will bless you. I will open doors for you. I will give you opportunities. Commonwealth Baptist College, some of our kids have gone there. And when they go there, because this church teaches soul winning, they go out soul winning. But some of the kids don't have it. And you know what they do? They go out and they get the track, like we have a track, and they say, can I read this to you? And the person says, and they read it to them and then invite them to pray to receive Christ as their Savior. I like that. We have something called all church soul winning. And it's not just going out soul winning. You can do that all week. But it's training others. And we have that on Thursday night and Saturday. I encourage you to get out to that. You get out to Sunday morning. You get out to Sunday evening. You get out to... How about going... Well, three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. But how about this? Four or more to win the war. Three to thrive. Be out in a soul-winning outreach. And what a blessing it is. You know, if you're not really soul-winning, you're not really right with God. Jesus is saying, I'm opening doors. I'm giving opportunities. But you need to be a worker. You need to be somebody that has God's power and depends on God's power and prays for God's power. You need to be somebody, beloved, that keeps this old King James Bible and stays with it. And you need to go out and do confrontational soul winning and lead them to pray to receive Christ and invite them out and bring them out. May God help us to understand open doors and closed doors, and how the Lord works. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about Jesus who opens doors and he closes doors. Perhaps you've been trying to go through a closed door when he wants you to go through another direction. He's closed some doors and he wants you to go in another direction. Perhaps he's opened doors and you've had adversaries and you're tempted to quit and to give up and to be discouraged. And he wants you to stay with the stuff and overcome the